18. Presently, Morgo said,
I knew. Hints of it, and your knowledge of it, have leaked into your conscious mind, especially during sleep.
So, I'm a double renegade, Provoni said starkly.
Why did you break with your fellows?
Provoni said, There are 6,000 new men on Earth, ruling with the help such as it is, from 4,000 unusuals, 10,000 in a civil service hierarchy that cuts everyone else out, 5 billion old men with no way. He lapsed into silence, and then he did a surprising thing. He raised his hand, and a plastic cup of water floated directly to him, depositing itself in the grip of his hand.
You are an unusual, too, Morgo said. A TK, he added. That I did not guess.
Provoni said, As far as I know, I'm the only fusion of new man and unusual. I'm a freak, splitting off from other freaks.
How far you could have gone in the civil service, consider, as you must have, what rating you could score.
Oh, hell, I was 003. Not overtly, but when I had tests administered to me sub rosa, I could have challenged Graham. I could have challenged any of them.
Mr. Provoni, the Frelixen said, I do not see why you failed to work from within.
I couldn't dislodge 10,000 civil servants, from G1 to 003, all the way up to the Extraordinary Committee for Public Safety and Council Chairman Graham. But that was not the reason, and he knew it.
I was afraid, he said, that if they found out, they would kill me. My parents were afraid when I was a child. All of them, new men, unusuals, and the old men and undermen.
I could harbinger a race of supermen. If it became public, the upheaval would be vicious, and I would, he gestured, disappear. And they would begin to watch for others like me.
It never occurred to anyone that a person might emerge who comprised both types, the Frelixen said. That is, theoretically, before they tested you.
Like I said, my tests were private. My father was at a G4 rating as a new man, and he secretly arranged for the tests after he saw my TK ability and knew, in addition, that I had nodes of Rogers sticking from my brain like pencil stubs. It was my father who made me wary, God rest his soul. You know, these great planet-wide and interplanet-wide wars break out, and everyone is supposed to be thinking of the ideologies involved, whereas, in actuality, most people simply want a good, safe night's sleep, he added. A statement I read, literature on a pill. It said, in fact, that many persons who were suicidally inclined really wanted a good night's sleep and they thought they'd find it in death. Where are my thoughts taking me, he wondered. I haven't thought of suicide in years, not since I left Earth.
You need sleep, Morgo said.
I need to know if my third message is getting through to Earth, Provoni said gratingly. Can we really reach Earth in just 6 more days?
Ghosts had begun to haunt him. Fields and pastures, the vast floating cities on Earth's blue oceans, the domes on Luna and Mars, New York, the Kingdom of L.A., and especially San Francisco, with its quaint, fabulous, old-time BART rapid transit system, built back in 1972, and for sentimental reasons, still used. Food, he thought. Steak with mushrooms, escargot, frog's legs, which, to be tender, had to be frozen in advance, which most people did not know, including many otherwise good restaurants.
Do you know what I want? He asked the Frelixen. A glass of ice-cold milk. Milk with ice in it. A half gallon of it. I want to just sit there and drink milk.
As you pointed out, Mr. Provoni, Morgo said, a man's real interest is in the immediate and the small. We are on a voyage affecting the lives and hopes of 6 billion people, and yet when you imagine yourself there, at last, you imagine yourself sitting at a table on which rests a carton of milk.
But you see,
Provoni said. They're the same way. There is an invasion of Earth by non-terrestrials, and everyone wants merely to continue living. The myth of the seething, inarticulate mass that's searching for a spokesman, a leader, that would be Corden. But how many people really care? Maybe even Corden doesn't care. Not terribly. Do you know what the French gentry were afraid of during the revolution? They were afraid someone would come in and smash their pianos. Their narrow vision. He broke off. Which even I share. He said aloud, to an extent.
You're homesick. It shows up in your dreams. Nightly, you walk the paths of Earth's forests and rise in majestic elevators to rooftop restaurants and drug bars.
Yes, drug bars, Provoni said. He had run out of all medication long ago, fun and otherwise, including, of course, all the mind-affecting pills. I'll sit there at a drug bar, he said to himself, and have one capsule, pellet, tablet, and spancel after another. I'll frost myself into invisibility. I'll fly like a raven, like a crow. I'll cackle and chirp my way across the fields of greenhouses, into the sunlight and out of it, in only 6 more days.
There is one matter which we have not settled, Mr. Provoni, the Frillixen said. Are we to make an initial public appearance, with great pomp and circumstance, or shall we land in some out-of-the-way area where we won't be seen, and begin operations slowly from there? You could move freely about, if the latter. You could see and enjoy your fields of wheat, your rows of Kansas corn. You could rest, take your pills, and if you don't mind my saying it, shave, bathe, get clean clothes, freshen yourself up. Whereas if we drop down in the middle of Times Square, it doesn't matter whether we land in the middle of Times Square or in a Kansas pasture, Provoni said. They'll be maintaining constant radar alert, looking for us. They may even attack us, or try to attack us, with the ships of the line, before we even reach Earth. We can't be inconspicuous, not with you weighing 90 or so tons. Our retro rockets will light up the sky like Roman candles.
They can't destroy your ship. I'm wrapped around it entirely now.
I understand, but they don't. They may try anyway.
How will I look when I emerge? He asked himself. Grimy, dirty, given to unclean habits. But wouldn't they expect that? Wouldn't the crowd understand that?
Maybe that is exactly the way I should appear.
Times Square, he said aloud. In the middle of the night?
No. Even so, it would be too crowded.
We'll fire warning bursts with the retro rockets. When they see that we're landing, they'll retreat.
And then a hydrogen warhead shell from a T-40 cannon will blow us to bits. He felt sardonic and savage.
Mr. Provoni, remember that I am semi-matter, that I can absorb anything. I will be there, wrapped around your little ship and you, for as long as is necessary.
Maybe they'll go mad when they see me.
With enthusiasm?
I don't know. Whatever makes people go mad, fear of the unknown, it may be that. They may retreat as far from me as physically possible. They may retreat to Denver, Colorado, bunch up there like scared cats. You've never seen a scared cat, have you? I've always had cats. Tomcats, unaltered. And always, my cat is a loser. He's the one that comes back in shreds. You know how you can tell your cat's a loser? When he and another Tom are about to fight, you go out to rescue yours, and if he's a winner, he at once jumps the other cat. And if he's a loser, he damn well lets you pick him up and take him indoors.
You will soon see cats again, Morgo said.
So will you, Provoni said.
Describe a cat for me, Morgo said. Let it take shape in your mind. All your recollections and associations with cats.
Thors Provoni thought about cats. It seemed a harmless thing to do as they waited out the 6 days until they reached Earth.
Opinionated,
Morgo said at last. Me, you mean? On the subject?
No. I mean cats. And self-centered.
Angrily, Provoni said, A cat is loyal to its master, but it shows it in a subtle way. That's the whole point. A cat gives himself to no one, And this has been his way for millions of years, and then you manage to knock a chink in his armor, and he rubs against you and sits on your lap and purrs. So because of his love for you, he breaks the inherent genetic behavior pattern of 2 million years. What a victory that is!
Assuming the cat is sincere, Morgo said, rather than trying to catch extra food.
You think a cat can be a hypocrite? Provoni asked. I've never heard an insinuation of insincerity directed toward cats. Actually, much of the criticism comes from their brutal honesty. If they don't like a person, then shit, they're off to someone else.
I think, Morgo said, when we get to Terra, I would like to have a dog.
A dog? After my meditation on the nature of cats, after all the wealth of material about dearly loved cats from my past, I still think of one old Tom named Assurbanipal, but we called him Raph. Assurbanipal is Egyptian.
Yes, the Frilixen said. You still moan deep in your heart for Assurbanipal, but when you die, as in the Mark Twain story...
Yeah, he said morosely. They'll all be there, a row of them, on each side of the road, waiting for me. An animal refuses to pass into paradise without its master. They wait, year after year.
And you fervently believe this?
Believe it? I know it's true. God is alive. That carcass they found in deep space back a few years ago, that wasn't God. You don't find God under such circumstances. That's medieval thought. Do you know where you find the Holy Spirit? It's not out in space. Hell, it created space. It's here. He pointed to his chest. I mean, we have a portion of the Holy Spirit within us. Look at your decision to come and give us help. You get nothing from it, perhaps injury or some kind of destruction that the military has, but which we haven't heard about.
I receive something from coming to your planet, Morgo said. I get to pick up and hold little life forms. Cats, a dog, a leaf, a snail, a chipmunk. Do you know, do you understand, that on Frolix 8, all life forms except ourselves were sterilized, hence they long ago disappeared. Although I've seen recordings of them, three-dimensional recreations that seem absolutely real, wired directly to the ruling ganglia of our central nervous systems.
Fear overcame Thor's Provoni.
That bothers you, Morgo said, that we would do that. We ourselves, we were growing, dividing, growing. We needed to urbanize every inch of our planet. The animals would starve, and we preferred using a sterilizing gas, utterly painless. They could not have lived in our world with us.
Your population has tapered off now, has it? Thors asked. The fear still lay inside him, like a coiled snake, waiting to unwind to show its poisonous fangs. Morgo said,
We always could use more room.
Like Earth, Provoni thought.
No, there's already a dominant sentient species there. We are forbidden by the civil wing of our ruling circles to...
Morgo hesitated. Military, Provoni said in wonder.
I am a commando. That's what caused them to pick me to return to Sol 3 with you. I have a reputation for being able to solve disputes by mixing reasoning and force. The threat of the force makes them listen. The knowledge, my knowledge, points out the way by which the best society possible can succeed.
You've done this before? Obviously it had.
I'm over 1 million years old, Morgo said. I, backed by the contingency of force, have solved wars so vast, with numbers so great, as to be impossible for you to imagine. I have unscrambled politico-economic problems, sometimes by introducing new machinery, or anyhow theoretical papers by which such devices could be achieved. And then I have passed by, and the rest is up to them.
Do you intervene only if called on? Provoni said.
Yes.
So, in essence, you help only civilizations which have been able to produce transstellar drives, to get their messenger there, where at last you notice him, but some medieval society with longbows and pig helmets.
Our theory, Morgo said, as to this is interesting. At the longbow level, in fact at the cannon level, and airships, waterships, bombs, it is none of our business. We don't want it to be, because our theory tells us that they cannot destroy their race or their planet. But when hydrogen bombs are built, and technocracy has enabled them to build interstellar...
I don't believe it, Provoni said flatly.
Why?
The Frelixen explored his brain, deftly, but with his customary reverence.
Oh, I see,
he said.
You know that they create hydrogen bombs long before they develop an interstellar drive. You are right.
It paused.
All right, then. We allow ourselves to get involved only when approached by a ship capable of interstellar flight, because at that point, the civilization is potentially dangerous to us. They have found us. A response of some sort on our part is indicated. As, for instance, in your world's history, when Admiral Perry breached the wall surrounding Japan, and the entire country had to modernize within a matter of a few years. Bear this in mind. We could have chosen merely to kill every interstellar spaceman, instead of asking what we could add to help stabilize their culture. You would be incredulous if you knew how many cultures are in the grip of wars and power struggles and tyrannies, some far advanced over yours. But you supplied us with our criterion. You reached us. So, Mr. Provoni, I'm here.
Provoni said, I don't like that about the animals being exterminated. He was thinking about the 6 billion old man population. Would they be treated like that? He wondered. Will they treat us all like that? New man, unusual, old man, underman? Will they snuff us and inherit our planet with all its works?
Morgo said, Mr. Provoni, let me make 2 points which should serve to quiet your turmoil. First, we have known about your civilization for centuries. Our ships have entered and skimmed around in your atmosphere back to the time of whaling boats. We could have taken over any time if we so desired. Don't you think it would have been easier to defeat the Thin Red Line, the Redcoats, than to face cobalt and hydrogen tactical missiles as we would have to, are doing now? I've been listening. You have several picket ships loitering in the area near the point at which Sol's gravitational field begins to affect us.
And second?
We will steal.
Steal? Provoni was amazed. Steal what?
Countless diversions of yours. Vacuum cleaners, typewriters, 3D video systems, 20-year batteries, computers. In exchange for ending the tyranny, we will hang about a while, obtaining working models, if possible, or descriptions of every conceivable plant, tree, boat, power tool, you name it.
But you're technologically advanced over us, Morgo said in a pleased voice.
It doesn't matter. Each civilization on each planet develops unique, idiosyncratic tools, manners, theories, toys, acid-resistant tanks, merry-go-rounds. Let me ask you this. Suppose you could be transported back to England in the 18th century, and you could take back with you whatever pleased you. Wouldn't you cart away a good deal? Paintings alone. But I see that you understand.
We're quaint, Provoni said furiously.
Yes, that expresses it. And quaintness is one of the great use constituents in the universe, Mr. Provoni. It is a subdivision of the principle of uniqueness, which your own Mr. Bernhard explained in his Theory of a Causality Measured by Two Axes. Uniqueness is unique, but there are what Bernhard called quasi-uniquenesses, of which many...
I ghosted Bernhard's theory for him, Provoni said. I was a smart-assed young college kid, one of Bernhard's teaching assistants. We prepared all the data, the citations, everything. Had them published in Nature, with only Bernhard's name on it. In 2103, I was 18. Now, I'm 105, he grimaced. An old man in a different sense. But I'm still alive and active. I can still piss and stink and eat and sleep and screw. Anyhow, you read about people living to be 200 years old, born back around 1985 when the aging virus was isolated and anti-geriatric compounds were mainlined by 40% of the population. He thought then about the animals and about Earth's 6 billion who were going nowhere except perhaps the absolutely gigantic relocation camps on Luna with their opaque tank sides. The prisoners were not even allowed to see the landscape around them. Must be 12 to 20 million old men in those camps, he pondered. An army. Where'll they go on Earth? 20 million. 10 million apartments. 20 million jobs. And all non-G, not civil service. Graham may be handing us a hot potato, he said to himself. If we take over the functions of government, even briefly, we'll have to process them. We might, incredibly, find ourselves putting them back in the camps on a temporary basis. Jesus, he thought. How ironic can you get? Morgo Ron Wilk said suddenly,
A man of war port side.
A what at what?
Check your radar screen. You'll see a blip. A ship, a large one, moving very fast, too fast for a commercial vehicle coming directly at us.
A pause.
On a collision course. They're going to sacrifice themselves to stop us.
Can they? Patiently, Morgo said,
No, Mr. Pavoni. Even when they have mounted 0.88 hydrogen warheads or 4 hydrogen warhead torpedoes.
I'll wait, Pavoni thought, as he bent over his radar screen, until I see it. Because this is obviously one of those fast new LR-82s, he rubbed his forehead wearily. No. That was 10 years ago. I'm living in the past. Anyway, he said, it's a fast ship.
Not as fast as ours, Mr. Pavoni,
Morgo said. The gray dinosaur boomed and shuddered as rocket engines were fired. Then, the characteristic whine that came from entering hyperspace. The ship followed. There, on the screen once more, it hung, and it moved closer with each second, all its main engines firing in a brilliant nimbus of dancing, flaming yellow light. I think it ends right here, Pavoni said.